Many people worldwide prefer a more authentic and mid-range lifestyle instead of the advanced lifestyles found in some countries. When we think of original and historical countries, Cuba comes to mind. Cuba is located in the Caribbean and is often talked about. The population includes Spanish immigrants, Afro-Cubans, Africans, and other ethnic groups. The first permanent settlements in Cuba were declared as Spanish territory by Christopher Columbus in 1492 and were established in the 1500s. For over 300 years, Cuba, where these different nations lived intertwined, experienced a tumultuous revolutionary process due to the United States' intervention in the country. Following this, the era of Fidel Castro and Che Guevara began. Today, Cuba attracts millions of tourists due to its revolutionary history, old-style buildings, and vehicles. When we look at Cuba on the map, we can see that it is situated at the entrance of the Gulf of Mexico, bordered by the United States to the north and neighboring countries such as the Bahamas, Jamaica, and Haiti. The total land area of the country is approximately 110,000 square kilometers. It's important to note that Cuba is not a very large country and does not have expansive territories. However, despite its size, it has a substantial population. Around 12 million people reside in Cuba, with a significant portion concentrated in the capital city of Havana. Havana is one of the country's most popular and densely populated cities, housing around 2.5 million people. When visiting Cuba, it's important to obtain a tourist card from the Cuban government to enter the country smoothly. You can get this card by visiting a Cuban consulate with your plane ticket and applying for it. The tourist card costs $2 and allows you to travel in Cuba for 30 days. It's essential to take good care of this card during your stay because the Cuban government does not stamp your passport upon entry and exit, but instead stamps it on the tourist card. Therefore, you must present this card when entering and leaving the country. On the other hand, Spanish is the official language spoken in Cuba today. However, even if you speak English in tourist areas, you won't have any communication problems. Like in any country, English comes in handy in Cuba. However, the main challenge in Cuba is dealing with the fact that almost everyone who realizes you are a tourist will try to charge you exorbitant prices. You immediately understand the first examples of this as soon as you arrive at the airport, with Cuban taxis demanding $40 to $50 for a 5-minute ride to the city center. While similar problems with taxis and businesses occur in many parts of the world, but in these countries, people have many side hustles, so they may charge lower prices. Perhaps the biggest problem in this country stems from the fact that tourism is the primary source of income. As a result, locals may see every tourist as a potential cash machine. Therefore, when you travel to Cuba, it's important to remember to negotiate for every purchase you make, whether it's for a taxi, at a market, or for any other service. If you agree to the first price offered, you may end up paying more than necessary. For example, if a taxi initially asks for $30, you can likely find others willing to take you for $7 or $8. It's also possible to negotiate the price down to $7 or $8. However, if you're using transportation for tourist activities, such as touring in one of Cuba's famous old cars, you may not be able to negotiate as much. For an hourly tour of Havana in a vintage car, expect to pay between $20 to $25. When you are in Cuba, you must also be cautious when exchanging currency. Similar to the black market practices in Argentina, they also exist in Cuba. If you want to exchange dollars for Cuban pesos at official exchange places, they might do so at a lower rate. Therefore, your first priority in Cuba should be finding someone who exchanges dollars at a good rate. You won't need to search for them. They will approach you persistently. My recommendation is to get rates from at least 3 or 4 people and then exchange your money with the person offering the highest rate. However, this situation should not make you uncomfortable because when you go to Cuba, there's no need to exchange a large amount of money. Many places, from restaurants to hotels, accept payment in dollars. Therefore, when you arrive in the country, you don't necessarily need to obtain a large amount of pesos. One of the most frustrating aspects of the country is that it has limited internet access. Unless you're staying in a luxurious place, finding internet in hostel-type accommodations or many restaurants is quite difficult. If you can't imagine traveling anywhere without internet, you'll have to get a high-speed SIM card when you go to Cuba. However, another problem arises because the Cuban government blocks access to many popular sites. In other words, people in Cuba cannot use the internet freely and are restricted from many websites. Additionally, many residents of Cuba don't even own mobile phones, let alone smartphones, due to the country's economic situation. When you delve into Cuba's economy, you'll understand the reason for this. Where you come from doesn't seem to matter to the people in Cuba. They try to find common ground with everyone, regardless of their origin. After establishing a connection with you, they may guide you to a cigar shop, restaurant, or some other place. They are genuinely warm people, but the primary purpose behind wanting to chat with you is to extract money from your pocket. Therefore, when visiting countries like Cuba, where poverty is high, it's best not to wear expensive outfits. The more high-value items you have on you, the more likely people will constantly stop you at every step and try to get money from you. For instance, some might ask you questions to figure out what you need, and then try to take a commission from you for providing services like finding internet, a taxi, food, or accommodation. It's important to be aware that in any struggling country where money is scarce, scams are common. When you walk through the streets of Cuba, the first thing you'll notice is that they are filled with people. Local residents enjoy sitting in front of their houses, chatting with each other. Moreover, the houses in Cuba are at least 40 years old and are behind the modern world, even in the central areas of the capital. People live in old houses where the paint and plaster have worn off and the windows have rusted. While they may look charming from a distance, these old houses are not very comfortable to live in, considering they do not meet modern living standards. Also, if you want to live in the old buildings where real Cubans live and are genuinely curious about their lives, I should mention that Cuban people rent out rooms in their homes in exchange for money. They open their homes to provide you with a room and a bed, allowing them to earn money from tourists. Of course, I don't know to what extent you would prefer to stay in a local person's home and pay for it instead of staying in a hotel or hostel, because the conditions inside the homes are quite basic. For instance, many of these homes have broken stairs, cracked walls and ceilings, and lack electricity and plumbing. These might make you feel uncomfortable when staying inside. This is the life of the Cuban people. Therefore, staying in a local person's home may not be ideal for you, especially if you are used to living in hotels. I should mention that the scenes you're seeing are not from wealthy families. Even in the central areas of the capital, people are dealing with various shortages. Firstly, you may have heard that Cuba is governed by socialist laws and regulations. So, let's explain what a socialist state means. If a country identifies as socialist, it means that the state provides for all the essential needs of its people. This means the state is responsible for meeting the housing, food, and drink needs of the people. Individuals carry a card, and the state records the assistance provided on these cards. If people don't find the state-provided opportunities sufficient, they are forced to work to earn money. Therefore, despite the country operating under socialist principles, there is still a concept of money, and people are seeking many ways to earn extra income due to the state's inability to meet everyone's needs. The country struggles to manage the global food chain and faces trade restrictions from some countries, leading to food shortages and hunger among the population. As a result, people are left hungry and struggling to survive. Even the simplest tasks require people to wait in long queues for hours for basic necessities such as bread, meat, and chicken. When speaking with people in the country, you often hear that socialism is not working and they are not happy with their lives. Sometimes, fights break out in the queues, and everyone is agitated. For example, mothers can use their cards to buy milk for their children, but they cannot find milk when they go to government institutions. Sometimes they may find powdered milk, but accessing natural milk has become a luxury. The only product easily available in the country is coffee, which they produce themselves, and it may be one of the few products they can sell abroad, aside from tourism. There is almost no development in any industry sector. The purchasing power in the country is very low, and people are tired of queuing even to buy a piece of bread with their cards. If they want to buy food products with what they earn, they encounter unbelievable prices. They have coined the term black market for places that sell food products outside official channels. Therefore, despite projecting joy outwardly, the people of Cuba are secretly very unhappy. If you can afford to bring $1,000 into Cuba each month, you could establish yourself there and have almost everyone at your service. The country's isolation from the United States also complicates the repair of its iconic, colorful cars. These cars were brought to Cuba before the revolution, and after the revolution, the severed ties with the United States made it difficult to repair these Chevrolet vehicles. When the engine of a car breaks down, people replace it with a Mercedes engine from Germany because they can't source genuine spare parts for their vehicles. Everyone who owns a car in Cuba has had to learn mechanical and electrical work. When they encounter problems with their cars, they are forced to repair them themselves. People in the country are unable to express their troubles openly due to the severe punishment, starting with 10 years in prison for opposing the socialist ideology and government. Therefore, everyone is cautious and afraid to speak out. Despite these challenges, the only way people can have fun and forget their troubles is by eating, drinking, and dancing to music. Cubans have a genuine love for music, and enjoying it with their families is a source of joy for them. As a result, the only form of entertainment for the people is drinking rum or smoking cigars. The rest of the story is characterized by scarcity and poverty. In the past, people were very hopeful about Fidel Castro and the new regime. They were celebrating in the streets. Now those same people are older and nostalgic for the old days. The only positive aspect in the country is that education and healthcare are provided for free. There are no private hospitals or private schools in the country. Cuban people must rely on the quality of the health and education services provided by the state. Another issue is that car usage is limited to central points in the capital, with people in many parts of the country preferring to travel by horse-drawn carts, bicycles, or on foot. Gasoline is very expensive in Cuba, making it one of the most costly needs in the country. Due to low incomes, people generally avoid vehicles that rely on motor power, reserving gasoline purchases for those who work in tourist taxis and car-related businesses. In conclusion, Cuba is a great place to visit, but I wouldn't recommend living there. Share with us in the comment section what you think about Cuba. See you in the next one. Goodbye.